Praise the Lord. How many of you folks know Brother Melvin Johnson? Well, Brother Melvin Johnson is from Woodbury, not too far away from here. And if you don't know him, you will before this meeting is over, I'm sure. Brother Melvin, you're going to sing for us and you're going to preach for us?
Yes, Brother.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
It's all yours.
Thank you,
Brother Melvin Johnson.
Praise the Lord. Brothers and sisters, wow, my voice has been magnified. May I magnify the Lord with my voice today, and may the Lord be magnified by His Word today, and He will be. He says in one place in the Psalms, I will be exalted in the earth, I will be. And the Lord is coming to judge His people. I saw a sign coming in on the church, coming down 56, and it said, God does not call the qualified, He qualifies the called. So God will give us what we need. Hallelujah. And He wants to give us so much more, but we, as Brother Terry said, we have this log jam, and it's us. We're always in the way. We have to remove ourselves and decrease while Christ increases in our lives. From time to time, we're prone to things like backsliding. From time to time, we take one step forward and three steps backward. There's too many distractions in the flesh, too many distractions in the world. And yet Christ is still walking on the sea, and He's still saying, peace, be still. And then when we take our eyes off of Him and lose our focus, that's when we start sinking beneath the waves of despair and doubt. I wrote this song in one of my moments of doubt and despair. A reminder to me that I should keep pressing forward and reaching forward to that crown of life. Someone mentioned the Valley of Dry Bones. That's the name of this song. Sometimes the church becomes a valley of dry bones and forgets we have to ask God to breathe life back into us again.
I had fallen away, I was out of God's will. I could no longer pray, I could no longer feel. At the end of the day, it was so hard to kneel at the foot of God's throne. I was just like a bird with a broken wing. I could no longer fly, I could no longer sing. I fell from the sky, far away from my king, in the valley of dry bones. Lord, pour out Your Spirit, forgive my sin. Breathe on these bones and let me live again. Jesus, take my hand, lead me out of this land, this valley of dry bones. Cover these wounds with a brand new skin. Give me the strength to never fall again. We need another mighty rushing wind in the valley of dry bones. My spirit was dry. My spirit was dry and my hope was lost. Then I heard my Lord cry as He hung on the cross. So I poured out my heart and I counted the cost. And now I'm coming back home. My faith is much stronger, I'm no longer weak. I'm back on my knees and I'm back on my feet. I'm up on the mountain looking down from the peak above the valley of dry bones. Lord, pour out Your Spirit, forgive my sin. Give decision. That's where I made up my mind. Should I go home with Jesus or be left behind? Lord, pour out your spirit, forgive my sin. Cover these bones and let me live again. Jesus, take my hand, lead me out of this land. This valley of dry bones. Cover these bones with a brand new skin. Give me the strength to never fall again. We need another mighty rushing wind in the valley of dry bones. We need another mighty rushing wind in the valley of dry bones.
Glasses. Here they are. Lord, give me eyes to see, and He has. Though my carnal or my physical, God help me, not carnal anymore. Though my physical sight is failing, and I can't see like I used to, my spiritual sight is becoming more and more. My physical sight is becoming more and more better, better and better, gooder and gooder. Well, though the outward man perish, is what I was trying to say, though the outward man perish, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, for our light affliction, which is before a moment, worketh a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Today my text comes from Titus, the second chapter. If you'll turn there with me, we'll read that together. Titus, the second chapter. Starting at verse 11. And I am thankful, like Brother Terry and others, for the grace of God. Except for the grace of God, there go I. And it's by God's grace that I am what I am. A son of God. A man of God. A God-fearing man. And I know I'm a God-fearing man because sin bothers me. It bothers me in me, and it bothers me in others. It bothers me in the world. And I cry and sigh for the abominations that are being done in our nation and in the world. It troubles me. And so it should. Verse 11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Do we have any peculiar people here today? Let me see your hands if you think you're peculiar. Let me see your hands if you think the world thinks you're peculiar. Well, praise the Lord. You know, the world doesn't love the things of God. But we do. We must. Why does the world find it difficult to deny ungodliness and worldly lust? Why do so many Christians find it hard? Why are people lovers of pleasures rather than lovers of God? Why has the Bible been relegated to little more than a coffee table display? And why are people so defiant toward heaven and so little concerned about sin in our generation? Romans 3:18 says, it's because there is no fear of God in their eyes. We need to have the right attitude because our eternal life depends upon it. Are we a God-fearing people? Do we fear God today? churches of this world teach the fear of God? Or has their teaching turned him into a divine snuggly teddy bear? A benign but doddering grandfather? Or maybe an absentee landlord busy doing other things? Why do the ministries of this world try to block the force of the word fear? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. I don't know how many times I've gone to church services and I would say the fear of the Lord, and they say, we don't have to fear God anymore. That was the Old Testament. All we have to do now is just respect him, and you know, we're not supposed to tremble. Yet I remember in Isaiah, he said, to this person will I look to, those who tremble at my word, those who fear me. Fear is a good thing. The fear of man bringeth a snare. But whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. But the fear of God is good. Proverbs 1:7 tells us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Is it because people don't properly fear God and therefore they aren't subject to the law of God? Or have they turned the grace of God into lasciviousness, a license to commit sin? What then? Shall we sin because we are under the grace and not under the law? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves to obey, his servants ye are to whom you obey? Whether of sin unto death, or obedience unto righteousness? What are we yielding our eyes to? What are we yielding the members of our body to? Unrighteousness? Is God not here to see us? Some people in this present generation, they believe the only thing wrong is getting caught. But if we're sinning, we're always caught, because the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. God have mercy on us. Help us not to do evil. Ye that love the Lord, hate evil. And so we have a generation that has a form of godliness but denies the power thereof. In other words, they display hypocrisy, or they have a show of religion. Reverential awe is wisdom's foundation, because it moves us to obedience, and God gives His Holy Spirit to those that obey Him. Psalm 103, verse 13, as a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those that fear Him. And as the brother quoted just a moment ago, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he is trusting in thee. How many lovers of God do we have here today? Hallelujah! How many lovers of pleasure? Let me see your hands. God have mercy on us. Now the question is, did Christ fear God? Did the Lord Jesus fear His Heavenly Father? Did He have a reverential awe, a deep abiding respect for Him? Would He rather lay down His life for truth than to deny Him? Hebrews 5:7 says, who in the days of His flesh, when He had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto Him that was able to save Him from death, and He knew that He was heard because He feared. The Lord Jesus fears and loves and respects His Heavenly Father. Is He not our pattern and our example? Then why do we look to the world? Who are our heroes today? Celebrities in culture? Hollywood? Sports stars? All we hear about are steroids and gambling and killing in nightclubs of sports political stars. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. and the world is passing away and the lusts thereof. But he that does the will of God abides forever. Hallelujah. 2 Timothy 3rd chapter 1 through 7, actually 1 through 5, talks about that form of godliness. I want to talk about that false gospel of carnal Christianity as opposed to the true gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to talk to you today about the pleasures of this life versus the pleasures of God. Are we lovers of pleasure or lovers of the Almighty? This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Brother Al, we're in those times. Does anyone disagree that we're not living in perilous times? And is not the world increasingly becoming more and more dark and hostile toward the word of truth? This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. Selfish. Self-centered, self-absorbed. In our generation, it was said that 10% of boys and 18% of girls are committing suicide today. And suicide is totally a self-centered act. If we weren't so self-centered in our own pity and worried about our own lives, instead of giving to others and learning about how to care for others, we wouldn't be so consumed with our own problems. I come to a place where I don't think I have any problems except the ones I create. My problems seem to be self-inflicted because of my tongue, because of my anger. I have to fear God because he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool, but he that putteth his trust in the Lord, he shall be delivered. Now, perilous times are here, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. Has anyone ever hated you for being good? We try to sow seeds of the light of Christ, the Word of God, in the workplace. I'm sure you do too. I go into Nissan and I try to be so positive because it's such a negative and dark and hostile environment. And people hit the floor with fear in their eyes. And you can see it on their faces, discouragement. The world is discouraged and downtrodden by sin. And by fear of the enemy, instead of fearing God. And so I say, good morning. How y'all doing today? And some say good morning back, and their faces brighten up. But then one says, well, good morning, Mr. Happy. Mr. Happy's here again. And there's some people that don't want to be happy. I was talking to a man just recently, this week, about what a blessing marriage is, and what a beautiful wife I had at home. And I tell him, if I could just get my mind off myself and off of sin, then I would recognize the blessings God has given me. He said, I'm not blessed. He said, my wife and I have been together for 16 years. We lived together for 6. And then I said, maybe tomorrow you'll feel differently. He said, why? Is a light bolt of lightning going to strike her tomorrow? And I said, my God, have mercy. It's good to have faith. It's good to have the Word of God in your hearts. Thy Word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against Thee. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The entrance of Thy Word giveth light, O Lord. And it gives understanding to the simple. Now, we're reading about traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Now these are not worldlings. Perhaps they are, but in one sense, these are professors of religion. Because it says, having the form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And then it says, from such turn away. In other words, have nothing to do with that kind of attitude. Converts of a false gospel that deny the power of the grace of God to break the power of sin. Do y'all believe that the gospel can break the power of sin? Do you believe that you're free today? As that song said, oh, bless the day that Jesus washed my sins away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, how wonderful and how precious is His name. Hallelujah. But there are those in the churches of this world that believe that we're going to sin whether we like it or not. I hear this all the time. You're going to get up and sin tomorrow morning whether you like it or not. You don't have any power. Having the form of godliness but denying the power thereof. God don't have the power to keep you. You're a sinner. And you'll always be a sinner. God have mercy. In the Scriptures, throughout the Scriptures, it says we are holy ones. That the saints are holy. We are called to peace and holiness. Without peace and holiness, no man shall see the Lord. Turning the grace of God into lasciviousness, a license to commit sin. You don't have the power, and God hasn't given it to you, to overcome sin. And yet the Lord says throughout His Word, he that overcomes and keeps my works until the end, the same shall be saved. It is an overcoming thing. We do have a choice. We are still free moral agents. God is giving us the choice to choose blessing or cursing, good or evil, life or death. And so He says, choose life. One of the last fruits given in 2 Timothy 3:4, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. This false gospel of carnal Christianity, consequently, its fruits are the fruits of the flesh, for they have never been born again of the Spirit of God. The carnal Christian loves pleasure more than he loves God. Matthew 6:21. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Where is our treasure? In this world? In riches and power and fame? And celebrityism? In money? And wanting to be loved by the world? I've got news for you. You've read it and I've read it. If the world has persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, therefore the world persecutes you. If they've called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call those of his own household? If the world hates you, you know it hated me before it hated you. Why, the world loved the Lord Jesus. That's why they nailed him to a cross. And spit upon him and mocked him and beat him unmercilessly. I speak with tongue in cheek. We know that this world does not love truth. You can't turn on the radio and television these days and hear truth. It's all controlled. There's a spin on everything. There's propaganda and rhetoric that would lead you to believe otherwise. If you speak Bible, well, that's taboo in this country. Even in the world. You're not supposed to speak the Word of God. Don't you speak Bible to me. My daddy said it to me. Elizabeth's father said it to her. They could be on their deathbed. Don't you pray for me. That Bible was just written by men. I can't call my poor father up. I can, and I often do, without him 10 minutes in the conversation, running down the Republicans, and about how evil the right wing is in religious people. And I'll listen to it, let it go in one ear and out the other, because I don't figure that either party really represents Christ. But then he gets on the Lord himself, on God Almighty, and starts saying God's responsible for all his suffering in the world. I said, God didn't make you sin. Governments oppress and torment their people. Is that God doing it? I still pray for Daddy. While there's life, there's hope. And I love him. But he said, that's why we can't stop by your house. All you want to do is talk about religion. I said, Daddy, I don't bring religion up till you start bashing God. Then you want me to sit there and take it. I got to give a defense for the gospel. I love my Heavenly Father. I love the Lord Jesus Christ. And I love you too, Daddy, but I have chosen to follow the one who made me, the one who made you.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. My friend, if your treasure is this world and its pleasures, then your heart is not right with God. Neither is mine. And you cannot bring forth fruit into perfection, as he says in Luke 8:14. What kind of pleasures? Sensual pleasures and vain amusements. Let us define the word sensual. How is it used in the Word of God? The word sensual means fleshly, carnal, self-indulgent, worldly, lewd, sexual, promiscuous in sin, gluttony, drunkenness, epicurean, lustful, immoral, and unrestrained lust. Evil concupiscence, inordinate affection, lasciviousness, incontinent, unable to restrain oneself, especially when it comes to sexual relations. In other words, everything that appeals to the fallen nature of man that would satisfy his depraved heart. Hello? Someone's knocking at your door. And it's Jesus. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and come in to me, I will come in and sup with him and he with me. Then the Lord Jesus said, those whom I love, I chasten. Be zealous therefore and repent. Lord, I come back to you. I turn. I repent, Father, of all my sins. Please deliver thy servant from presumptuous sins and let them not have dominion over me. Let me spend time in his word and in prayer, and let me spend time counting my blessings, and I won't have time to think about sin. James 4:4, everybody, if you want to turn there. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even to the lust that war in your flesh? Who has that passage? Brother Al, would you read 1 through 4 for us?
From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members? Ye lust, and ye have not. Ye kill, and desire to have, and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask, and ye receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God.
That used to scare me. I used to hear that verse right there, whosoever shall be a friend of this world is the enemy of God. And I used to tell myself, who then can be saved? Do you not know that being the world's friend is being God's enemy? Do we love God and His righteousness and holiness, or do our hearts rebel against the narrow way of self-denial and a life of separation from the world? Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters. Have we come out from among them? Are we practicing separation? I was in Nissan Thursday afternoon, eating my salad that my beautiful wife made for me. And after my salad, I always had dessert. I opened up my New and Old Testament. I started reading God's Word. Right there were people all around me. I know it gives strength to some, but some don't like that. But one man decided to tell a dirty joke. There's at least three or four sons of Belial in every zone throughout Nissan. And they got to lead everybody else into rebellion and hollering, rioting in the daytime. And they're not happy unless if they see you quiet, they just got to stir you up. Well, he told a dirty joke. It was this long. And it had the S word throughout. And everybody in the group was just laughing and just carrying on. And I was sitting there reading my Bible. I didn't look up. One guy got up He said, well, I gotta go study. I gotta go improve my memory. I knew he was directing that toward me, and everybody in the group did. But I ignored him. I still speak to him and try to be polite to him every day. Because there's still a chance that he would turn. Christ died for him too. He didn't die just for me. Why should I keep all this grace to myself? Why should I be stingy? The Lord died for all those around me. They laugh. But I know there's a lot of them that really desire God. They just got to let go of the pleasures of this world, and they got to let go of the love of sin and come to Him. Do we secretly despise the way of grace? The way of repentance? Aren't you glad for repentance? Hallelujah. Do we despise the way of bowing to the authority of God's Word and to the Lordship of Christ? Oh, listen to the Word of God. Love not the world. What is the world spoken of in these verses? It is the culture that surrounds us. We are constantly bombarded with satanic propaganda and ungodly messages daily. It is the ungodliness and worldly lust of Titus 2:12. Romans 8:6-7 says, it is a fallen human nature acting out itself under the influence of the devil. The god of this ungodly world and its spirit is hostile to godliness. I was a child of hell at one time, but now I'm a child of God. And I'm not ashamed of it. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation unto everyone who believes. To the Jew first and also to the Greek. I want to be a vessel filled with the Holy Spirit. I want to be a vessel filled with the Word of God. I know you do too. You want to be filled with more of God, don't you, Brother Joe? Praise His holy name. The opinions of this world are false. Its aims are selfish. Its pleasures are sinful. Its politics are corrupt. Its honors are nothing but bubbles and do not last. Who does Satan reward in society? In this society? Its icons, its Hollywood stars, its celebrities. Everybody loved Michael Jackson, Madonna, Elvis, the Beatles. These are the people that are rewarded. And what are they promoting? Carnality. They didn't call Elvis the pelvis for nothing. And the Beatles were mop tops and they were promoting anti-Christ sentiment. John Lennon hated Christ with a passion. He said the Beatles are more famous than Jesus Christ ever was. Madonna and Michael Jackson and all these pop icons are promoting sexual immorality. They're promoting sin. And that's the ones the devil rewards. The devil does set people up in this world. And he will use them in powers, in influential powers to defile others. The filthiest, the most debauched, those are the ones that Satan promotes in our popular culture. Consider songs like, if loving you is wrong, I don't want to be right. That's sin. That's a declaration of sin. Let the devil take tomorrow. I don't care who's right or wrong. Just help me make it through the night. Are we not the members of Christ? Should we take the members of Christ and give them to a harlot? In one place in the scriptures it says, let no whoremongers be in your land, and no sodomites. You hear a lot today about gay. They're not gay, they're sodomites. But now they're working feverishly to pass hate crimes that if you preach and even speak the Word of God about the unnatural use of the woman or the man, and men burning in their lust one for another, you're guilty of a hate crime. Just know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Here's one. I'm not easy, but I can be had. You never heard that one, have you? That's because I wrote it. 20 25 years ago. And I'm ashamed of it. When I was in country music, that's all I did. I sang Conway Twitty's music. Mom and Daddy said it was all right. Brother Armando, when I became converted, all of a sudden my eyes started opening and the scales fell away. I said, my God, what was I saying? Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord, lying here with Linda on mine, and while next to me, my soon-to-be, the one I left behind. Oh, God, have mercy. My family still worships at the First Church of Country Music. I go home and I wrote all these beautiful songs inspired by God. We don't want to hear that. If you don't want to play this country music, sit over in the corner. We don't sing gospel here. But I still love the Lord Jesus more. I still love our Heavenly Father more than my own parents. My only earthly parents. And I love them. But I know they're lost. While Daddy worships at the First Church of Country Music, Mama worships at the Soap Opera Factory. Colossians 3:2. Set your affection on things above and not on things on this earth. Listen to me now. When the world is enthroned in our hearts, that's idolatry. Romans 12:1 and 2. Present your bodies as living sacrifice, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Hallelujah. We can even set ourselves up as idols, can't we? If we're lovers of our own selves. You see, brothers and sisters, when the world is loved, it possesses and governs the soul, overcoming the conscience and the principles of holiness in the Word of God. For its influence is subtle, perilous, and leads to damnation and hell. Loving the world will lead you to hell. You've heard about the pleasures of sin for a season. Wasn't that said about Moses? Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Did I come out here today because I didn't have anything better to do? Huh? I came out here today because I love God's Word, and I knew that there would be people here that also love God's Word. Do you love God's Word? I know you do. It goes without saying, but we should say it often. This is God's Holy Sabbath. That's another reason I'm here. I'm here to worship with you. To hear your beautiful, inspired music. You play better now since you had surgery than before. You're just getting better and better. And this orchestra, we worship from the moment we walked in to sit down and listen to them. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Are you made in God's image? Are you a child of hell or are you made in God's image? Turn and look at your brother and sister and see that big smile on their face. You see that smile? Even the smile is a gift from God, brother. How many of you have beautiful wives? I do. I want to boast about her. God gave her to me. And He made her faithful and obedient in His Word. And me too. And when things go wrong, we've got to search our spirit and find out what we're doing wrong, stepping outside of God's Word, and then the trouble soon goes away when we pray together and kneel down together at the family altar. There's still help. There's still a balm in Gilead. Amen. Hallelujah. So where is your pleasure? Is it in the world or is it in God? The pleasures of sin for a season. Ephesians 5:11-12. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame to even speak of those things that are done of them in secret. Galatians 5:16. Brother Randall Walton Jr. Brother, would you read that, Galatians 5? Let's all turn there to Galatians. We're talking about the works of the flesh, ungodliness and worldly lust, the pleasures of sin. Galatians 5. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them and mercy and upon the Israel of God. Galatians 5. Works of the flesh. Begin at verse 19, brother.
Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like.
So those are the works of the flesh. Those are the things that separate us from God. Brother Armando, are you still there? All right, read this fruit of the Spirit. Verse 22, everyone.
But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, gentleness, against such there is no law.
Against such there is no law. So you can do those things and you won't get in trouble. So let's love one another. Let us have peace, joy. Love, peace, joy, goodness, long-suffering, goodness, gentleness, faith, temperance, self-control, meekness. And what does someone say? If you think that meekness is weakness, then try being meek for a week. Who has a Bible? Who has their Bible open? Raise your hand. Dear lady, would you read Psalm 5, 3 and 4? And Loretta, you got yours? Loretta, read Psalm 147, 10 and 11. Brother Randall, Psalm 149, 2 through 5. We're talking about pleasure. There's lawful pleasure and there's unlawful pleasure. Unlawful pleasure hurts others and destroys our own salvation, our own chances at salvation. Proverbs 21:17, he that loveth pleasure shall be a poor man. He that loveth wine and oil shall not be rich. Okay, Psalm 5, 3 and 4.
My voice shall thou hear in the morning. O Lord, in the morning will I direct my prayer, and to thee will look up. For thou art not a God that hath pleasure in wickedness, neither shall evil dwell with thee.
Thou art not a God that hath pleasure in wickedness. God don't like wickedness, brothers, sisters. He's angry. He says, in one place, God loves the righteous, but God is angry at the wicked every day. Do we want to be drawn away with the wicked? Do we want to be counted with the wicked? 147, 10 and 11.
He delighteth not in the strength of the horse. He taketh not pleasure in the legs of a man. The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear Him, and those that hope in His mercy.
The Lord taketh pleasure in those that fear Him, and those that hope in His mercy. Are y'all hoping in His mercy today? Hallelujah. Is that the kind of pleasure you want? Pleasure that comes from above? That pleasure feels good, don't it? Pleasure that's lawful, pleasure that's good. Holiness, righteousness, peace. 149, 2 through 5.
Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing loud upon their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand.
What does that mean, brother? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And it says what it means. Hallelujah. Is he talking about this two-edged sword? Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. But we wrestle not against flesh and blood, not each other. You're not my enemy. You're the body of Christ. Amen. Even my enemy, I'm supposed to love him. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against wicked spirits in heavenly places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Let your loins be girded about with truth, and have on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith. The shield of faith, where you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation. Have you got the helmet of salvation on, Armando? Hallelujah! Praise the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Yeshua HaMashiach, Son of the Living God. Our God's not dead, He's alive. Jesus is alive. Hallelujah. I see Him in you. Do y'all see Christ in each other? Do you? Are you sharing Him? Are we sharing Christ with one another today? Yes, we are.
Praise the Lord.
Restore unto me that created me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me.
Praise the Lord.
Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. David knew what it was, the shout of saints on higher ground. And you know what it is, don't you? Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies, came upon me and ate up my flesh, to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should rise against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in His temple. For in the time of trouble, He shall hide me. In the time of trouble, He shall hide me in His pavilion. He shall set me up upon a rock. You know who that rock is? Hallelujah. His name is Jesus. Who is a God like our rock? Their rock is not our rock. He shall set me up upon a rock. Therefore will I sing praises, sacrifices of joy unto the Lord my God. Well, I have my being. I love the Lord Jesus, brothers. I love Him, Brother Tom. And I dare not trust this flesh. My grace is sufficient for thee. Out of weakness you shall be strong.
Amen. Praise His name.
Let us go to Isaiah. We'll have Brother Tom read that. Isaiah 53, 10 and 11. Isaiah 51. This beautiful brother at the back here with the stripes on his shirt. Is that Joe? Joe? You have a beautiful head of hair, brother. It gets more beautiful every year. Rise up and pull the hoary head. The glory of young men is their strength. But the beauty of old men is the gray head. The hoary head is the crown of righteousness, Brother Anthony, if it be found in the way of righteousness. Let's go to Isaiah 58 together, shall we? No other chapter is more replete with messianic prophecies than the book of Isaiah. Isaiah 58. Brother Tom, verse 1. Were you in 53?
I was in 53.
Brother, give us 53, verse 11, and, oh, yeah, 10 and 11.
Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He had put him to grief. But thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. He shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days. And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see him to prevail his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities.
That could only be Christ, the suffering servant, who has pleasure in the prosperity of his seed. Brother Randall, you have verse 1 of 58.
Cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgressions, and the house of Jacob their sins.
Show my people their transgressions, and the house of Jacob their sins. Why does God want us to see our sins? Or be told about them? Why does God want us to tell each other about our transgressions? He wants us to forsake them, right? Then in verse 3, wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? And then God answers, behold, in the day of your fast ye find pleasure, and exact all your labors. Behold, you fast for strife and debate, and to smite with the fist of wickedness. Ye shall not fast as you do this day, to make your voice to be heard on high. Is it such a fast that I have chosen? A day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush, and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast, and an acceptable day of the Lord? Is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness, and to undo heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out into thy house, when thou seest the naked, that you cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh? God delights and has pleasure in those who fast in the way that He calls us to fast. To clothe the hungry, to give drink to the thirsty, to clothe the naked, to bring those that are poor into your house. So He takes pleasure in obedience, doesn't He? Ah, that gets us to another thing. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not. Wait a minute. Everybody tells me they're grievous. Everywhere I speak about God's commandments at work and everywhere else, they say, you can't keep those commandments. They're a burden. Don't you know that you're a legalist? Oh, really? I thought Jeremiah said the time was coming when God shall write His law in our minds and in our hearts. And the Lord says in Deuteronomy 5:29, oh, if they only had a heart, that they would fear me, that they would keep my commandments always, and it would be well with them. If a man say, I love him, and keepeth not his commandments, he is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Obedience is still the very best way to show that we believe. God said, I desire obedience. It's better than sacrifice. So at the end of chapter 58, the word pleasure is mentioned twice here. What does God take pleasure in? Obedience. This one's talking about the Sabbath. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord honorable, and shalt honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. God loves obedience. Hallelujah. We can't wait to be obedient, right? Hallelujah. We can't wait to draw closer to the Lord. Amen? What's keeping us? What's holding us back? Let's break the log jam and let's go. Let's go up to Mount Zion and obey God. Hallelujah. Praise His holy name. Now, are we a vessel wherein is no pleasure? Or does God have pleasure in us? Do we have pleasure in Him? That's why we've come today, to find pleasure in the Almighty, right? He's our Maker, our Father, our Creator. I believe the Lord had pleasure in your singing today. I believe every time we speak His Word, He has pleasure in us. Especially when we're being obedient to that Word.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Brother Al, Ezekiel 18:23-24. Brother Randall Jr., Ezekiel 18:31-32. Brother Joe, Ezekiel 33:11-12. Who's got Ezekiel 18:23-24?
Have I any pleasure at all that the wicked should die, saith the Lord God, and not that he should return from his ways and live? But when the righteous turneth away from his righteousness, and committeth iniquity, and doeth according to all the abominations that the wicked man doeth, shall he live? All his righteousness that he hath done shall not be mentioned, and his trespass that he hath trespassed, and in the sin that he hath sinned, in them shall he die.
God has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. And when the wicked stops doing wickedly and does righteousness, then God will forgive him. But if the righteous starts doing wickedly and says, "Behold, my Lord delays his coming," and he starts to eat and drink with the drunken and to beat his fellow servants, then God's not going to remember any of the righteousness that that man has done. Be sure your sin will find you out. He that sows to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Brothers and sisters, now is not the time to lay down the ball. We don't quit before we reach the finish line, a foot away from it, and then look back into Sodom and Gomorrah. We keep on pressing forward. And forgetting those things which are behind, we press toward the mark for the high calling of Christ Jesus, the prize of God. Who has Ezekiel 18:23? Okay, we got that one. Who's got 18:31-32?
Cast away from you all your transgressions, whereby ye have transgressed, and make you a new heart and a new spirit. For why will ye die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, saith the Lord God. Wherefore, turn yourselves and live.
I have no pleasure in the death of those who die, whether they be good or evil. 33:11-12.
Saith to them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die, O house of Israel? Therefore, thou son of man, say unto the children of thy people, the righteousness of the righteous shall not deliver him in the day of the transgression. As for the wickedness of the wicked, he shall not fail thereby in the day that he turneth from the wilderness. Neither shall the righteous be able to live for his righteousness in the day that he sinned.
So there's the warnings, the admonitions of the Lord. He has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. He wants them to turn. He's given them all the opportunity in the world to turn, even his own children. If we backslide, if our faith grows cold, especially in times like these, should our faith grow colder now? Or should it grow bolder? God wants us to grow bolder, right? Proverbs 28:1, the wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. Hallelujah. And we serve a lion, the lion of the tribe of Judah. The day that he roars, he's going to shake this earth. And everything that can be shaken will be shaken. If y'all have any comments at any time, please speak up. The Word of God is not bound. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I want the Lord to find pleasure in me. I want to be a vessel that He can pour out and fill up again. I have no pleasure in you, saith the Lord of hosts. I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear the words, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. I don't want to hear those words. Are y'all praying for me? I pray for you, you know that. I pray for my brothers and sisters over here in this valley at McMinnville. I pray for my brothers and sisters all over this state, all over the country. And I know that I'm not going through the same temptations, but that we're all in the same temptations together. To deny our faith and to walk away from God. Now is not the time to do that. Now is time to stroke the fires of salvation. To renew our love and commitment to Him. To be a vessel of pleasure. Let's sing that little song together. You ready?
Give me oil in my lamp. Keep me burning, burning, burning. Give me oil in my lamp. I pray, hallelujah. Give me oil in my lamp. Keep me burning, burning, burning. Keep me burning till the break of day.
Are we the five foolish virgins? Are we the five wise virgins? Are we going to have our lamps trimmed and ready? Let your loins be girded about and your lights burning. And ye yourselves like unto men that wait for the wedding when their Lord shall come and knock, they may open unto Him immediately. Oh, would you give me some of your oil? My lamp's gone out. Would you give me some oil, Brother Randall? I thought he was a nice guy. But he's right. What is that oil? Give me some feedback. What do y'all think the oil in the lamp is?
The word in your heart.
The word in your heart.
And we can't get it because it's there.
You mean all this time you've been studying and praying and feeding on the word, and I've been feeding on the electronic toilet? I've had my head in the world. I can't come to you at the last minute and beg you for part of your faith. You just can't give it to me, huh?
Nope.
Now's the time to be working. Now it's high time to be working. Amen. Amen. I'm sorry?
Praise the Lord.
Oh, praise the Lord. I thought you said something about the oil. It's the oil. Praise the Lord. The Holy Spirit, right, brother?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Read 2 Corinthians 12, 9 and 10. Brother Joe. And somebody read Philippians 2, 12 and 13. Sister Loretta. If we are lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, we would do well to take heed to God's warnings found throughout His precious Word. For instance, 2 Thessalonians 2, 11 and 12, brother. Brother Randall, Jr., Hebrews 10, 37 through 39. Brother Al, 2 Peter, starting with verse 38. No, verse 12. Okay, Brother Randy. Brother Walton.
Was that 12 and 13?
12.
That they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth.
And verse 11.
And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie.
That they all might be damned, who believe not the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. Do we believe the truth today? Two things, to the law and to the testimony. If they speak not according to these two words, it is because there is no life in them. And the dragon went to make war The dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they, right here. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right through to the tree of life, that they may enter in through the gates into the city, for without are dogs and idolaters and whoremongers and idolaters and all that love and make a lie. Do we love the truth today, brothers? Sisters, do we? Yes, yes we do. Who's got Hebrews 10? Verse 37.
For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. Did you want the other two verses?
Read all the way to 39.
Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul.
Let us not be as those filled with worldly pleasures and ungodly lusts, vessels in whom the Lord finds no pleasure. Let us not draw back into perdition, but let us believe to the saving of our souls. 2 Peter 2:12.
But these, as natural brief beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption.
Continue to...
And shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, as they that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime, spots they are in blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings, while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, and heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children, which have forsaken the right way and gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Bozar, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, but was rebuked for his iniquity, a dumb ass speaking with a man's voice forbade the madness of the prophet. These are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. For when they speak with great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escape from them who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption, for of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought into bondage.
Who's promising us liberty, brother?
False prophets.
Yes, false prophets there.
False teachers,
also in the world, who's promising us liberty. There's people that say you don't need God. Canada's got buses running around, rolling around now that says there is no God on the side of them. Yeah. Nietzsche said God is dead to this generation. Nietzsche's dead. God still lives. Hallelujah. So who is promising us liberty? While they promised him liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption, for whom a man is overcome of the same as he brought into bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world, they are again entangled therein, and it has happened unto them, according to the true proverb, the dog is returned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. Lord, where can we go? Will you leave me also? Lord, where can we go? You have the words of eternal life. And we believe that you are the Son of God.
Amen.
I was trying to contrast today the difference between the pleasure of the flesh. You know, the grace of God has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope, the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ,
Amen.
The author of our eternal salvation. The contrast between worldly pleasures and pleasure in God, and His pleasure in us. God wants to raise up vessels whom He can have pleasure in. And I believe that I'm looking at those vessels right now today. Revelation 4, 11 and 12. Let's do it in verse 10. Revelation, this is who God has pleasure in, this is the pleasure of God. Not only that we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight, but having confidence in His Son, whom He has raised from the dead. Do y'all believe that? more than you believe life itself, right? Praise the Lord. Verse 10, Revelation 4, the 24 elders fall down before Him that sat on the throne and worship Him that liveth forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, read it with me. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things. Oh, so you weren't made just to live out your own life and be busy with your own pleasure. We were made for God, to bring Him pleasure. For Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So we are made for His pleasure, right? Romans 13:11. Do you love the Word of God? Hallelujah. I love the Word of God. Praise the Lord. Jesus is the Word of God, the living and the written Word. Romans 13, verses 11 through 14. I don't think Joe read back there yet, so Joe, read Romans 13, 11 through 14. So let us put off the pleasures of darkness and put on the armor of light. Cast off the works of darkness, for now it's high time and our salvation is nearer than we first believed. David said it this way, Thou wilt show me the path of life. In Thy presence is fullness of joy. At Thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Do you want this world's pleasures or do you want the Lord's pleasures? And the Lord Jesus in conclusion says, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself daily and take up his cross and follow after me. For he that loveth his life shall lose it. But he that loseth his life for my sake and for the gospel's, the same shall save it. I want to leave you with a song I wrote, a love song for my Lord, based on David's Psalm 17, where he says, Lord, keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me under the shadow of your wings. That's where we need to be. That's where we'll have pleasure. Under the shadow of His wings. You did? Well, praise the Lord. I want to hear y'all sing it.
Just an ordinary man, looking for a place to make my stand. I was living in a prison, I was longing to be free from these chains of darkness holding on to me. Prison door began to open wide when I trusted in the precious blood of the crucified. Oh, and now I know every tear I cry. I'll always be the apple of your eye. Keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me in the shadow of your love. Hold me in your arms each time I cry. Send your precious spirit from above. Keep me as a sparrow till I learn to fly. Keep me as the apple of your eye. I will never be the same again, because I know forever you will always be my friend. And in my time of trouble, I will always call on you, for I know your grace will help to see me through. But until then, I'll be waiting patiently, because I know with all my heart you're coming back to me. Oh, now I know for me you came to die, so I could be the apple of your eye. Me as the apple of your eye. Hide me in the shadow of your love. Hold me in your arms each time I cry. Send your precious spirit from above. Keep me as a sparrow till I
I believe that we are the apples of God's eye, apples in His eye. Well, we are the apples of His eye. We only become apples in His eye when we transgress. We become pricks in His side and thorns in His flesh when we disobey. I challenge all of us to obey God more and more, because His coming is soon, it's imminent. We can see it in the world. And Christ loves us, and we love one another. So let us make sure that we pull each other out of the fire, hating even the garment that is stained by the flesh, and save each other in fear. As He said, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. The fear of the Lord is good. God has been good to me. He's given me a second chance. I have been angry, but the Lord has taught me to have self-control, to have patience. I have been sinful, but I cried out as David did, with a broken and contrite heart and spirit. And I know that my God, my Father, has heard me. I know He loves me, and I know He loves you too. And God will give us another chance. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. To cleanse us of all unrighteousness. I'm going to do better. I challenge all of you to do better and to draw closer to God as you see the day approaching. Thank you for having us today, my family and I. We love all of you. And we're praying for your salvation and for your faithfulness. We're praying that you keep on keeping on seeking God because He will be found of you. He's promised that. It is not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, into which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth and all the works therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought we to be in all holy conversation and godliness?
Amen.
Let us pray for each other. And please understand that we're all struggling in the flesh against this world. But God is our conqueror. We are more than conquerors in Him. And we shall, and we are overcoming. Hallelujah. I love you all. And God bless you, brothers and sisters.